good time of worship? Do you love worshiping the Lord? I realized some years ago that I knew the Lord was doing a work in my heart when I realized that I really enjoyed worship. Because before then, I would just say, well, I'm just not that kind of guy. I just like the Word. I'm a Word guy, I would say. And I still love His Word. Don't get me wrong. I love His Word. But wasn't King David a worshiper? Amen. He played the harp, right? Am I talking to myself? He was a worshiper, right? And so I knew that God was doing something in my heart when I began to really connect with Him in worship. You know, the Lord has designed us to connect with Him in different ways, whether it be worship, right? Amen. Through His Word, just fellowshipping with Him. Amen. There's even a connection with God when we're fellowshipping together. Did you know that? Fellowshipping together is an awesome connection with the Lord. And so many different aspects of you and I connecting with the Lord, encouraging one another, amen, encouraging one another, loving one another, amen, and even so much more as it says in Hebrews, as the day draws nigh. What do we mean by the day drawing nigh? That the end of this age coming, amen, and Jesus Christ coming, right? People ask me, do you believe a new age? I say, I sure do. There's a new age coming. There's going to be a new heaven and earth. The elements of this earth being burned and a new heaven and an earth. Isn't that awesome to think about? Amen. That is as real as you and I sitting here together. Amen. You know, I want to talk a little bit more tonight. I'm not going to go to John session 47, I think. But I want to talk a little bit more about revival. Can I do that tonight? Amen. And just some things the Lord had put on my heart. Revival, being revived. There's been many different, if I could use that term, revival or awakening or a move of God. Has there been moves of God throughout the earth, amen, since Jesus died, rose again, went to the right hand of His Father, established that first church of the Acts? We know it as the book of Acts, right? Was that a move of God? And remember that first message that Peter had stood up on the day of Pentecost, and he declared that, said, hey, that this is the latter rain. And he says, hey, this is the day where the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out. And what did he say? He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Wow. Not just the guys. The gals get to prophesy. By the way, does anybody know, you guys, I know most of you know this answer, so I know. What character in the book of Acts had four daughters that prophesied? He was a prophet, but not Agabus. I just thought somebody might know this. Okay. Here's a hint. He was an evangelist. Philip the evangelist. Amen, Philip. That's right, Philip. I mean, yeah, he's Philip. He's like Philip. That's right, Sean. So Philip had four daughters, it said, that prophesied. Now how this took place or where, we don't know, but it said he had four daughters. Isn't that amazing? Four daughters that prophesied. And so my point being is he said that Peter getting up and saying, hey, that this is the day where God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And he said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall, and your young men shall see visions. Is that for today, by the way? May I say that? I just want to say a couple things before I move on that I know. And who would ever would have thought that we would have that first age church where Paul and the apostles, they died, and that second generation after them that knew the apostles, knew the first church, and they eventually died. And then you had that third generation, And that third and fourth generation is when you start getting Catholicism starts, those ideas and the thing of Catholicism starting to be the only religion in the entire world. Whoever would have thought that? And whoever would have thought that we would go until at dark ages until about 1500, and then we had, who came on the scene? Then that was Martin Luther, known as the Great Reformation. And that Reformation wasn't a pouring out of people of the Holy Spirit again in gifts of the Spirit and the working of miracles. Now, that wasn't what was poured out. This first step was, God, you're saved by grace. And that you can read the Bible. And you don't have to do some of these, all these crazy things that were required by the Catholic Church to be saved. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that, and some people still do that, right? And so, yeah, that's right. That's right. And so, yeah. So you had the Catholics, and then you had the Protestants. So that was the Protestant movement. You say, well, why are you saying this? And Chad, well, let me just continue a little bit on, and then as we went through, as through the ages, and then it seemed like God began to reveal more and more and more and more. And so why God chose to do it that way, I'll never know. But the point is there's nothing new under the sun. But every time there's been like a move of God, a little more of God is revealed, or a little bit more peace of God, like the book of Acts. Getting back to the book of Acts. Got far away from the book of Acts. And then I think in these last days, we're getting back, can I say back to the book of Acts before Jesus comes again? Let me just say a couple other things that in the book, in 1 Corinthians, let me just talk about speaking in tongues. Now, speaking in tongues, if you don't speak in tongues, it doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Spirit. And I would never say that. But through different moves of God, did you know, through different Pentecostal denominations, they believed that if you didn't speak in tongues, you didn't have the Holy Spirit. Right? But I'm here to say that that's not true. Because Romans 8 says, if you don't have the Spirit of God, that you're not, you don't belong to Him. So if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you're not born again. But we are born again by faith. By faith. But every one of these moves of God, God was like reveal a little bit of His character, a little bit more knowledge or understanding. Anybody ever heard of the Azusa Street Revival? Anybody heard of that? And so that was around 1900, 1902, 1903, in that range. There was this Wells Revival across the pond, right, in Europe, and people were being baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And so that wasn't happening in America. And so there was, in this Europe, this move where people were saying, hey, I got saved, and I received this empowering by the Holy Spirit. I began to speak in tongues. And so the Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles in that 1902 or 3 was led by a guy, I think his last name was Seymour. He was a black gentleman who had one eye that was completely bad. So he had nothing going for him. He went to Bible college in Texas. They made him take his desk and put it outside the door, outside in the hallway, and just listen in. Could you imagine that? And just listen in. Couldn't be in the classroom with the other students. But he did not allow that to embitter him. And then he was what if not the catalyst for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that began in Azusa Street in Los Angeles, where people were gathering, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, with speaking in tongues and other gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that gifts of the Holy Spirit was nothing new? It had happened before, right? Back in the book of Acts. I understand that there's denominations that don't believe that, but I still love them. They're still my brothers and sisters in the Lord. But I believe that God in these days is going to continue to empower young people. Matter of fact, as I was reading about this Asbury Revival, which comes through John Wesley and Francis Asbury, which with Methodists, they didn't speak in tongues back then, but they were leading many people to Christ during that second awakening in the 1780 to 1825 range. But as I began to look into this revival that's going on there, kids are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Kids are speaking in tongues. But it's not a show. This is what I noticed. There's not a show. Not a show at all. You know, at that Asbury revival, let me just talk a few things. I heard a testimony from a young lady at the college who was a part of the original group of students that was there when the worship began. This is that group of, I think it was 19 students that got together and they just began to worship, and then college kids started coming to that, and next thing you know, it's just the whole auditorium, that little auditorium they have, or chapel I should say, was full of people. And so they were interviewing her. One of the faculty was just talking to her. As a matter of fact, I had saw some videos of quite three or four of staff teachers there who have right now are giving their normal little messages in chapel there as this continues, but they've kind of got back to their school schedule there, by the way, in Asbury. But so I heard this testimony from this young lady, I don't know her name, was at the college, who was part of the original group of students that was there when the worship began and was the catalyst for that beginning of this. She says she talked about her life. So I just want to mention a few things. Can I do that? She talked about her life being full of anger. She says, I was full of anger. She says, I came to this school, I don't even think I was saved, but I was full of anger. Being full of anger in no direction. But she said this, a couple of weeks before she was part of this group that was worshiping there at that chapel, she says that the Lord began to speak a couple things to me. She says, I know now that it was the Lord, but at the time I did not know it was the Lord. She thought maybe this is just me talking to myself, but she says, as I've entered into this and God has radically changed my life, I know it was the Lord talking to me. And so what she says, what the Lord began to speak to her was the simple little word, abundance. Abundance. And she says she felt like the Lord was speaking to her heart now that she knows, and says, I have an abundance for you. Since the Lord spoke to her and said, I have an abundance for you. Even in the middle of her anger, even in the middle of everything that was going on in her life there, finding herself at this Asbury College struggling, the Lord still spoke to her and says, I have an abundance for you. And I'm so thankful that the Lord God, regardless of where you and I don't have to be a college kid, I can be 75 years old or be in the middle of your prime like me, in the middle of your 50s, and I can still have the Lord speak into my heart and say, Chad, there's an abundance for you. And the Lord would say that to you tonight, that he has an abundance for you and for your family. You may not see it right now. You might even be in the middle of anger, but look, the Lord speak to your heart right now and receive this and say, Lord, I know you have an abundance for me. And Lord, I by faith, I just receive that right now. Because if he doesn't have an abundance for you, then why would we even be here? I don't want to be here either. But we're here because we know the Lord has an abundance for our lives and for our kids' lives. And we see songs like, even when I don't see it, I know you're working. But the truth of the fact is we definitely got to believe that. And what she said, the Lord spoke to her, says, was an abundance. I have an abundance for you, she heard the Lord say. I'm not limited. Aren't you glad that God's not limited? See, I am limited. I'm completely limited, but he's not limited. And he loves to show his limitless through limited people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not limited, the Lord said to her. See, another thing she said, the Lord just spoke to us, do not put me in a box regarding what I'm capable of doing in your life. And Lord, may we not put ourselves or our family in a box. Amen. So these things where the Lord was speaking to her heart before this ever took place. See, the Lord prepared her so when that we were worshiping, this word had already been planted in her heart by the seed. Because the word of God is a seed, and that seed had been planted in her heart. And when they began to worship and that group of people came together, that seed began to germinate and be watered by the Holy Spirit. And it's already growing and coming up in her life. Hallelujah. And as she began to continue to speak, it says, do not put me in a box regarding what I'm capable of doing in your life. Hallelujah. In your family's life, we have to believe that. I believe that. I know that, don't you? And then after that, after what's going on here, she started talking about this six-month mission trip she's going to be taking. So just a few weeks prior, full of anger, wondering why she's even there, but then realizing that during that whole time, the Lord was speaking to her. I don't care what you're going through, the Lord is wanting to speak to you right now. Because the Word of God is definitely seed. He wants to plant it in your heart, and at a certain time, the Holy Spirit will water that, and it will come to life if you will allow that. See, the matter of fact is, during the most difficult times is when the Lord wants to speak to us if we'll listen. If we'll allow our emotions for a minute not to have control, He's always speaking. I can tell you one thing, it's always abundance. He gives. He's a good God, amen? The only thing I've experienced with God taking away from me is my sin, my shame, my fear, all those different things. That's what He's taken away from me, hallelujah. He's not taken anything from me as far as life. He's a giver. Those things that needed to be uprooted, and He's still uprooting things in my life. Those things that are still being uprooted by Him, that He's taken those away from me, hallelujah. I'm glad to say, Lord, take those from me, hallelujah. And plant the Word of God, the truth of God, of what You're wanting and going to do in the coming days, weeks, months. Put them in my heart. Put that seed in my heart. I receive that, Lord, because He's a God of abundance. I also noticed that in the worship at this Asbury that they were just common voices. Some of them weren't even that good. They were okay musicians. I even noticed that it was a piano that was leading the instruments. It was a piano. That's so 80s if you've been in church for a long time. That's so early 90s. I hear this piano banging, just this grand piano on that stage, and they're banging away. I can't hardly hear any of the other instruments. And here's everybody out there just worshiping. You know, sometimes we got to be careful that ministry or musicians, and I'm putting everybody, it can become glamorous. We got to be careful about that. I'm not saying that the music's wonderful, but you know that the Spirit of God, the power of God, touches the common. David was very common. David was the least of his brothers. The Lord loves His abundance being poured out on the common man or woman. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Aren't you glad? Thank You, Lord, for pouring out Your abundance on common churches in Chino Valley, common churches in Prescott, common churches in Prescott Valley, common churches in Dewey, little country churches out in the middle of nowhere. We thank You for pouring out Your abundance, Father God, in the areas that are the least likely. We thank You, Father, for doing that in this day and age. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for working through the common. That's where God's abundance is poured out. So if you feel ordinary or common, man, you're right exactly where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for working through the common. Amen and amen. Yeah, they didn't even mix the music right. I'm like, man, I can't hear that guitar. Could someone tell that guy to quit beating on that? On those string or on those keys so hard, and this big old grand piano, as my unrefined ear began to try to listen to all the different instruments, and all I could hear is that doggone piano. Man, that's so 80s. Let me continue a few more minutes. You give me a few more minutes, brothers and sisters. And then I heard a couple of the chapel speakers, probably school staff, teachers. They gave just very simple biblical sound teachings about God's forgiveness, repentance, God forgiving shame, no sin being so dark or so terrible that God could not forgive. I realized it was really the same messages. Let me tell you this. I realized it was really the same messages I've heard my whole life. But the difference is how my heart received these messages now versus how I did in a young man. And some of those, now I understand legalism and the thing that it does to a heart. But what I'm saying, these little simple messages right here, as they were just preaching in chapel, these little 20, 25 minute messages. I'm like, this is all they're teaching? Is this what it is? Where's this little nut? Where's this big nugget? Or where's this incredible word that they have that brought this on? It was just common biblical sound gospel messages. Then the Lord really spoke to my heart saying, it's just simple biblical truths that change a life. We have to be careful in the church today because of everything that maybe church might be trying to become. And I'm not putting anybody down, that maybe we've forgotten some of the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of worshiping together. The simplicity of I'm looking for something out there that's going to change everything or going to finally change me. No, it's that simplicity of our ears being open to the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The simplicity. So I heard these little messages. I've heard these my whole life. Is this all that they're preaching there? Amen. You know, I've heard the salvation message many, many, many times. But you know, I really didn't hear it with God's grace until I was 42 years of age. I've heard it hundreds of times. But at 42 years of age, I finally heard it. This, for by grace are you saved through faith. Right? For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift. Now I can't even remember. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why it took all those years, I could say it's because of this church or that church or this or that. But what we really come down to is my heart wasn't humble enough until 42 and said, Lord, I've tried everything. I'm gonna humble myself and believe this simple gospel that could radically change my life. Saints, one thing I realized as I was looking at this, I'm going to read a scripture as a second, is, Lord, what I'm looking for is right in front of me. Yes, that simple word. But I pray, Lord, that I would hear it with the right ears. I pray I hear it afresh and anew. I pray to understand it like I've never understood it before, Father God. How about you? The simplicity of the gospel. And when I was thinking of that old piano, just banging that piano. And everybody worshiping. Then this scripture came to my mind. Jeremiah 6:16. It says, this is what the Lord says. Stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths. Jeremiah 6:16. I'm going to say that again. This is what the Lord says. Stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths. Where the good way is. And walk in it. Then you will find a resting place for your souls. But at this time, this is what the people said, we will not walk in it. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. Aren't you thankful that I'm not one that says we will not walk in it? See, I realized that for many years I had knew the salvation message. I knew the simplicity of the gospel, but there was many things going on in my life where I did this, I will not walk in it. I'm thankful for a day and age of my life now with the simplicity of the gospel. I want to hear it afresh and anew, and I want everything in me saying, I will walk in it. Every area in my life that I would say I will not walk in it, Lord, thank you for breaking that down. Thank you for revealing that to me. Thank you for helping me to humble myself and to have a heart with this simple message and say, Lord, I will walk in it. Lord, I will walk in your ways. See, it's not a new message. It's not a new message at all. I don't need a new little revelation, really, to unlock something for me. No, I'm realizing the Lord speaking to me said, no, I want you to hear all those things through the years. I want to hear them with a different ear. See, I was looking for something they had to have been teaching there at Asbury that made the difference, and I found nothing. Common messages of the Bible teaching these kids about repentance, about giving your sin to God, about allowing him to take your shame away. And I think that group of kids said this, we will walk in it. We will walk in it. As they begin to repent, as they begin to say, I am tired, even at their young age, I am tired of this, what has been keeping me down, what's keeping me from experiencing the abundance of God, what's keeping me from the purpose of God. And when that group of kids said, we will walk in it, I believe the Holy Spirit began to minister to that area, to that group of people. And Lord, my prayer, how about your prayer is, Lord, that we'll have a heart, not by some kind of legalistic thing, but by the power of God in us, saying, Lord, we'll walk in your goodness. Lord, we'll walk in your abundance. Lord Jesus, we'll walk in your repentance. Lord, we'll walk in your goodness. Lord, we'll not give up or give in. Father, we belong to you. Hallelujah! So it's not something new, it's something that's been there all the time, becoming new to us. And so, Father, we stand up this evening together. Can you stand with me? And Father, we thank you for the goodness of God. Maybe you just need to take a minute and say, Lord, I thank you for the abundance of God. Lord, I will walk in your abundance. I will walk in your grace. I will walk in your strength. I will walk in your truth. Lord, I belong to you. Lord, every area of my life, all my character flaws, all my struggles, everything going on, Father God, I give them to you, and I will walk with you, Father, for your goodness, Lord, is going before me. Your abundance is with me, Father God. So we receive your abundance, Lord, as we walk with you. Lord, we will walk in your ways. Thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. Father, thank you that you're always there. Your patience, Father God, is beyond my comprehension. I don't understand your patience. Don't understand it at all. But yet you've remained with me, Lord. You've been good to us, Lord. You've been kind and patient for us, with us, Lord. And Lord, tonight we declare, I don't know about you, but Lord, I declare that I will walk in your abundance. I don't know about you saints, but my heart, I will walk in his abundance. Hallelujah! I will walk in his abundance. And my family will walk in his abundance. My neighbors, my church will walk in his abundance. And as we do that, the world around us, you know what they say? They see the abundance of God. Hallelujah. And then they say, what do you have? I want some of that abundance. I don't know what it is. I don't even know it's abundance, but what you have, I want. And when you walk in his abundance, you have a smile on your face. You have joy in your heart. You have something that somebody else wants. Amen. So we thank you for that, God, that we would walk in your abundance and your grace and your mercy and your strength, Father God. As you reveal old ancient paths, Father God, the simplicity of the gospel that's always been there, but opening our eyes and our hearts afresh and anew to it. Those ancient paths. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is. That sounds good, the good way. I like the good way. I've already experienced the bad way. No, thank you. Where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, but for us tonight, but we said, we will walk in it. Father, we thank you for that. We love you. We praise you and we exalt you. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you're doing in our town. Thank you for what you're doing in our church. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And Father, we just receive from your blessing and your abundance tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.